We'll go ahead and call the order. Please rise. We'll display a flag on the screen. Salute. Pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Mello.
Here.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Chair, Vice Chair DeFowl.
Present.
And Commissioner Lindler is absent today.
Item 3, approval of the minutes from July 20.
So moved.
I have a motion. Second by Commissioner Veal. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved as submitted. Unscheduled appearances. At this time, any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction of the responsibility of the commission. At the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda? Seeing none. Item 5, any declarations of conflict of interest?
Nope.
Record show, none noted. Presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission during the public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the Commission should be given to the clerk of the Commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of testimony, please, when you are addressing the commission up here at the podium, speak clearly into the microphone. Introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. The chair is taking it upon the chair at this time is stating that you will have a maximum of 3 minutes to address the commission due to the quantity of individuals here which do wish to speak. We want to be done before 5 o'clock this evening. Availability of public records. All public records related to an open session item on this agenda which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Wairegan, California. At the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body, all project documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Community Development Department at 806 South Main Street. Our protocol, I will run through that since many of you may not have participated in this in the past. We do strongly encourage the public to participate. The chair will conduct the hearing through the following actions. The agenda item will be introduced. The staff report will be presented. There will be submitted correspondence. It will be acknowledged and made part of the public record. Additional reports, arguments, or evidence will be submitted by other county departments or public agencies. At that time, the chair will then ask if the commissioners have any questions, and then the public hearing will be open. Proponents will go first and give an opportunity to present their arguments and evidence. Then the opponents will be given an opportunity to present their arguments and evidence. And then public comments will be given in general, neither for nor against. Project proponent will then be given an opportunity to rebut. After all testimony has been given, the chair will close public hearing and the commission will discuss the matter. During this discussion, commission members may individually ask questions of the project proponent, opponent, or staff at the convenience of the commission. After discussion, the chair will ask for a motion and a second, and the commission will render its decision. The right of appeal statement can be found at the agenda. Are there any changes at this time to the agenda?
No.
Seeing none, we have old business 0, new business 1. At this time, I will introduce agenda item number 1, Kidder Creek Orchard Camp Zone Change, Z-14-01, and use permit UP-11-15. Rachel. Haley, you're on deck.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. Haley Lang, Deputy Director of Planning. This item is the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp Zone Change and Use Permit Project, and so staff has created a PowerPoint presentation for you all today to go over the project and the associated CEQA document for discussion. So this project is both a zone change and a use permit. The zone change portion of this project is to rezone approximately 170 acres from timber production to rural residential. Most of the land within the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp project is already zoned rural residential, with a small portion zoned as AG1 prime ag soils. The use permit portion of the project is to increase the allowable occupancy from 165 to a total occupancy of 844. Increase the physical size of the camp from 333 acres to 580 acres, and to add additional structures and recreational features, including a 7-acre pond. It is anticipated that the expansion would occur over a 20-year period, which I will go over in detail later. The use permit portion of this project will also revoke all previous use permits associated with this project and consolidate it into one use permit and also one CEQA document, which is an environmental impact report. I want to note that the 165 number is from the most recently approved use permit back in 1995. The 310 number that you see noted in the environmental document and the public notices, that's the environmental baseline that was used with the CEQA analysis. So I just wanted to note that to the public.
Excuse me, but we can't really hear you. Can you move closer to your microphone?
Can you hear me?
No.
There we go.
No, still same slide. So the three previous use permits, the first one dates back to 1976, which created an organized camp, a base camp for youth to conduct primitive camping and backpacking activities. The second approval was in 1984 to construct a log cabin, a ranch camp, other recreational facilities, as well as allowing the camp to have an annual fundraising event once a year on site. And the third approval in 1995 was to expand the capacity of Kidder Creek and to increase approximately 1,802 combined campers and students per year to a maximum of 3,340 annually at the end of 10 years with a maximum occupancy of 165. This is the project location west of the community of Greenview, located at 2700 South Kidder Creek Road. This is the proposed master plan site that a consultant created for Kidder Creek, which includes both existing and proposed features. And I'm going to go over these features in the next few slides. These are the existing features. A lot of these are actually going to be either improved on site or they will be moved to other portions of Kidder Creek. But I just wanted to note that these are currently existing in some capacity within Kidder Creek. There are a number of proposed facilities, and I'll just note a few. You know, an increase to staff residences, an RV area, adult retreat centers, and in the next few slides, I'm going to go over kind of the timeline of the build-out of these facilities. And also, you know, the large pond, the maintenance facility, increasing their water tank storage. These are all contained in the staff report for you all today in the package, and then also in the draft EIR document. Anticipated timeline of occupancy, so I wanted to put this up here so you could get an understanding of what Kidder Creek's intentions are with occupancy. So at 5 years build out, they hope to at 450, with occupancy at 10 years, 600, at 15 years, 724, and at 20, 844 total. Anticipated timeline of facilities. So there's a number of new facilities that are proposed, and so I wanted to note that it's not the intent for Kidder Creek to have a full build-out immediately of the 844. As you can see, a lot of these are long-term, you know, planned facilities and activities. For example, the amphitheater between 4 to 20 years, the RV areas 2 to 10. So I just, you know, wanted to put this up here just to understand kind of, you know, the long planning of the facilities and activities that will be taking place should the project be approved. General plan consistency. So as staff, we have to ensure that any discretionary projects coming through the planning department are consistent with our general plan policies. And so there are a number of policies that we identified as consistent with the general plan and the project in total. And those specific policies are identified in your staff report package today. Zoning map. So as noted earlier, most of the project currently is zoned as rural residential with a small portion as AG1. The timber production is planned to be rezoned as rural residential should the project be approved. Scott Valley area plan. So since this project is located within Scott Valley, staff is also required to ensure that the project is consistent with the Scott Valley area plan, and also, you know, this specific Scott Valley area plan policies. So I just wanted to note a few of them that staff found consistent. So this project, it will not affect deer wintering areas, floodplain, or landslide area policies because the project doesn't have those associated land use designations within the project itself. The project includes, the project is close to existing public services. It's not defined as industrial or commercial. It's defined as recreational. The project is not defined as dense residential development, and the density of the project is well within its parameters. This right here is the Scott Valley Area Plan land use map overlaid with the project site. And so this gray green color, that is actually the land use designation of non-resource areas. The red is the designation of excessive slope, and then that yellow sliver is the AG1 soils. And so as you can see, a lot of the project is associated with non-resource area policies, but I will go into the specifics in the next few slides. Oh, and this is also the project site map, and in the top right corner where it says Zone A, that's the 100-year FEMA floodplain map, so I just wanted to note that for you all today that the floodplain is not, you know, located on the actual, you know, property site. Specific Scott Valley Area Plan policies, prime ag soils. So policy number one, only agricultural and public uses may be permitted on prime ag soils. There are mature apple trees that are located on the prime ag soils. There is not any development surrounding that. I will note that a lot of the existing structures are from that 1976 use permit located near the prime ag, the AG1 soils, and so that was prior to the adoption of the Scott Valley Area Plan. For excessive slope, policy 17 and 18. Policy 17 is only agricultural, residential, open space, and small-scale commercial, industrial, recreational uses, and public or quasi-public uses may be permitted. Policy 18 is residential, small-scale, commercial, industrial, recreational uses, and public or quasi-public uses may only be permitted when they are clearly compatible with the surrounding and existing uses of land. Since this is defined as a recreational use facility, those policies are consistent. Non-resource area policies. So a number of policies are consistent with the plan and the project. Policies 31 and 32 speak to the use of the land, so noting that only small-scale commercial uses are allowed, and as noted, that is what is occurring on property, and so that is consistent. Policy 34 speaks to utilizing the most restrictive policy first, and then deductively going down the other policies to make consistent. And so, Prime Ag is consistent with the portion of the land that is Prime Ag. Policy 36 speaks to buildable access, and so currently the project has adequate access. Should the project be approved, they would have to adhere to 4290 standards prior to the use permit issuance, and so that policy would be met through that process. And then lastly, policy 37, the policy of this plan shall not apply to developments functioning and legally existing prior to the adoption of this plan. California Environmental Quality Act, so I wanted to take a moment to discuss, what is CEQA, what's the intention of CEQA. And so CEQA is intended to inform government decision makers and the public about the potential environmental effects of the proposed activities and to prevent significant avoidable environmental damage. CEQA seeks to accomplish the five major objectives, which are to disclose environmental impacts, to prevent or reduce environmental damage, to disclose agency decisions, to promote intra-agency coordination, and to encourage public participation. This process is intended to be objective, which is why with these large projects, we seek out a consultant to use to be objective, because they're not, involved with, other things. And the process uses factual, scientific, and reputable data. So, the purpose of CEQA is to be objective and to use industry standards. Seeking out a consultant that's objective, they know what type of data to use, what type of analyses to use, what data that needs to be obtained. And so, I just wanted to provide a high-level discussion on CEQA and whole. So the environmental impact report, this project has been a multi-year project in the making, so I just wanted to kind of highlight the CEQA markers that have happened to this date. So back in 2016, there was an initial study and a mitigated negative declaration that was prepared. Due to the number of comments and issues raised, staff and the consultant put forward to prepare a draft environmental impact report back in September 2019. Again, due to the high number of comments raised and the level of detail for some of the technical analyses, staff decided to recirculate a portion of the EIR to better meet the needs of that analysis. And so that was back in April 2022. Again, there was also a portion of the analysis related to noise that needed to be recirculated due to a level of detail, and so that second recirculation occurred in June 2022. And so today we're here kind of discussing the project currently as it currently sits, and we are hoping for a final EIR in September of 2022. So before I start going into the specific mitigation measures of the study, I want to note that a lot of these mitigations were created through consultation and coordination with local, state, and federal agencies. A lot of these agencies have been working with Cater Creek. They've gone on site to look at the site. They've modified their requirements, based on this ongoing consultation process. So I just want to note that a lot of these mitigation measures have been created, through a consultation, process, both, with professionals and with stakeholders and, state agencies. And so hazards and hazardous materials, there are a few mitigations associated with that. And so I'm just gonna highlight in the next few slides, the environmental areas with mitigation measures. These mitigation measures are quite long, so they're contained in your staff report package. But through this analysis, the two questions posed for hazards and hazardous materials were, would the project expose people or structures to a significant risk of loss, injury, or death involving wildland fires, including wildland areas adjacent to urbanized areas or where residents are intermixed with wildlands. That was noted as significant, but with the incorporation of mitigation measure 8.1 was reduced to less than significant. And related to flooding, would the project expose people or structures to a significant risk of loss, death, or injury related to flooding? This was noted as significant, but it was decreased to less than significant with the incorporation of mitigation measure 9.1. Air quality. Will the project expose sensitive receptors to substantial pollutant concentrations? Noted as significant, but decreased as less than significant with mitigation measure 3.1. Biological resources. So there are a number of mitigation measures, but the first two questions are, does the project have a substantial adverse effect, either directly or through habitat modifications of any species, in local or regional plans as identified by the state, or does the project interfere substantially with the movement of any native, resident, or migratory fish or wildlife species, or with established native, resident, or migratory wildlife corridors? Mitigation measures 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, and 4.4. These were all noted as significant, but decreased as less than significant with the implementation of these mitigation measures. Does the project have a substantial adverse effect on any riparian habitat or any sensitive natural community identified in local or regional plans, policies, or regulations as defined by the state? Or does the project have a substantial adverse effect on federally protected wetlands as defined by Section 404 of the Clean Water Act? Both of those were noted as potentially significant but decreased to less than significant with the implementation of mitigation measures 4.5 and 4.6. Cultural resources. So does the project cause a substantial adverse change in the significance of a historical resource? Does it cause a substantial adverse change in the significance of an archaeological resource? Or is it directly or indirectly destroy a unique paleontological resource or site or a unique geological feature? Does the project potentially disturb any human remains, including those outside of formal cemeteries? Or would the project cause a substantial adverse change in the significance of tribal cultural resources? These were all noted as potentially significant, and with the implementation of mitigation measures 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3 reduced to less than significant. Geology and soils. So does the project result in substantial soil erosion or the loss of topsoil? Noted as potentially significant and reduced to less than significant with the implementation of mitigation measure 6.1. Hydrology and water quality. Does the project expose people or structures to a significant risk of loss, injury, or death involving flooding? Noted as significant and reduced to less than significant with implementation of mitigation measure 9.1. Noise. Does the project have exposure of persons or generation of noise levels and excess standards established in the local general plan or the noise ordinance or applicable standards? Noted as potentially significant, the implementation of mitigation measures 12.1 and 12.2 still note that as significant, so I will kind of go into that in the next few slides. This is just kind of a repeat. So as I noted, significant and unavoidable. And so we'll go to the next slide and I'll talk about the statement of overriding considerations. So, when there is a environmental impact area within a CEQA document that is noted as significant and unavoidable, you are able to prepare a statement of overriding considerations pursuant to CEQA guidelines 15093. And so basically that is a written statement from the local agency, noting that, hey, we are aware that there is, you know, this impact that is unavoidable. We have attempted to mitigate it, but it is still unavoidable. And so, you know, therefore, based on a number of things such as, you know, project benefits, community benefits, socioeconomic benefits, you are able to kind of certify that you're, you know, taking that impact on through a statement of overriding considerations. And so there is a draft of that document prepared in your staff report package today. I wanted to take the next few slides to discuss the public comments we've received. We've received a lot of public comments over the years, over 300 comments. And so I wanted to speak first on the opposition comments, and then I'll speak on the support comment in the next slide. One main comment we've received is that this project is industrial recreation. This is a term that's not defined in the general plan. It's not defined in the Scott Valley Area Plan. It's not defined in other county documents such as our code, so we don't necessarily have a definition to infer what that necessarily means other than the industrialization of recreation activities. Other comments received, traffic and transportation issues. As noted in the draft EIR document, there was no mitigation measures associated with traffic and transportation, and so through that environmental process, the consultant didn't note anything of significance. So access, ingress, and egress, similar issues that we received comments on. There is a condition in the staff report package that the project applicant should meet 4290 standards prior to the issuance of the permit. And also deal with any, you know, vegetation removal along Peter Creek to hopefully remediate those issues. Wildfire risk, obviously a huge concern within our county. This project has an associated wildfire management plan, and so, the associated project has a wildfire management plan, and so we are requiring that the project proponent make those improvements prior to the issuance of the permit, and then also, you know, again with 4290 standards, we're hoping to kind of alleviate wildfire risk. Noise impacts, that was a concern among many. Unfortunately, our general plan, since it's outdated, there's like a 5 decibel difference. I think it's 60 in the general plan. 65 is the industry standard, which is why this is noted as significant and unavoidable. Capacity increase, folks have concern with the capacity increase, and as noted in the previous slide, the 844 number is over a 20-year time frame. Others have mentioned the plan is inconsistent with Scott Valley Area Plan. We had showed earlier that there are policies consistent with the Scott Valley Area Plan related to this project. Others have discussed the project proponent, you know, overusing water rights or incorrect use of water rights related to the pond. We're a land use, you know, authority. We don't necessarily get into how people use their water rights. That's a separate issue, you know, a civil issue with the water board. And also folks have mentioned, you know, since they're operating as a nonprofit religious institution, they're not paying property taxes. Again, as a land use authority, we can't tell project proponents, you know, how you're related to that. That's not in our wheelhouse. Public comment support, so we've received also lots of supportive comments. A lot of these are kind of quality of life indicators. Lots of community benefits such as local employment opportunities. This is a place for youth to convene and spend time together. It's family oriented. There are volunteer opportunities. This is a place to also serve the community, and this is also a place to have ministry opportunities. And so recommendations, so these are the proposed recommendations to conditionally approve the use permit, to to recommend to the Board of Supervisors to approve the zone change, to recommend that the Board approve the EIR, and also to recommend that the Board accept and approve the statement of overriding considerations. I will note that due to the high volume and number of last minute comments that we received, we were not able to produce a final EIR. So that's why you have the draft EIR in your packet today. And so, you know, based on that, based on the fact that this has been a project many, many years in the making, it's a very comprehensive and controversial project. We wanted to take everything to you all today for discussion, especially since this has just, you know, this project has been going on since 2014. And so that concludes my comments and presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
We'll follow procedure here. Additional correspondence submitted beyond what was on our table. Have you received any additional?
Beyond what was on the table this morning?
Correct. No. Okay.
Could I ask to see your question? The second?
Yes.
Okay, so in 2019, it was determined to have a full EIR. Is that correct? Was that then the commission advance that, or was that done in house?
Was the EIR done in house, or was the decision to go to an EIR commission or staff?
Okay. So we voted on that?
No.
No.
That was administrative.
That was administrative, yes.
So, and who chooses the firm to perform the EIR? Who is that?
It's staff. It's staff chosen. So, mm-hmm.
And who pays the?
Usually, the project proponent will pay for the environmental costs.
Could the report again pays for this? Okay. So then, we will go through the draft EIR today,
mm-hmm.
and mitigate measures.
Mm-hmm.
And if we find that we want to alter or change or add to or remove any of those, then does that have to be recirculated, or would it go directly to the supervisors for their final approval?
So should you have any modifications to the document, this will still come back to you in September, packaged as a final EAR, so kind of the most concrete version prior to sending it off to the board, should it be approved.
Okay, a little out of order, but we'll continue down. Are there any additional reports from Public Works, Health, to be added on to this at this time?
No.
Okay. All right, so now we'll go to where Commissioner Beal just was. Are there any questions of the commission at this time of staff? So I'm hearing the recommendation by staff is to proceed with the hearing, have public comment. Once public comment is completed, we will close public comment and go for a motion to postpone to a date certain, i.e. September, at which time we will reconvene, and due to the fact that the EIR is not completed, we will resume with additional public testimony, should there be any new, based upon the final document, and proceed from there. Is that what I'm hearing staff say?
Yes, I agree with that. The final EIR comes back in September. First of all, there's going to be a major new component to it. Is my microphone?
Yes.
Okay. There's going to be a major new component to it, which is the responses to all the comments. And to the effect that that's a substantial new part of the EIR, the public hearing portion would have to be reopened.
Okay. So with that understanding, before I move forward, additional commissioner questions of staff? Okay. And we'll go ahead and open the public hearing, and before I begin calling names, I have two that I would like to place in the proper stack. The first, and this is simply for our information, there's a Lauren Chilson, identified as a traffic engineer, speaking in support, opposition, or in general. You can just tell me from right there, sir. Opposed, support, or in general?
I'm part of the consulting team. Yes.
Perfect, thank you. Then I have a Paul Ballard. Opposed?
I am also part of the consulting team.
Thank you. Now I have the stack correct. All right. So, for the 6 individuals on the consulting team, would you like to reserve your time at the conclusion to address questions, concerns, etc. that may be brought up during?
Yes, please.
Positive. Okay. Good. So now we will move into comments by the public that are in support. And I'm just going to go from the top to the bottom. Reminder, you will have 3 minutes to address the commission. And we have a timekeeper. Yes?
Rachel.
Rachel is getting set. And please remember to give us your full name and your address and address the commission, please. Thank you. First on the top, Cliff Munson.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning, I'm Cliff Munson. Do you want me to spell my name?
Seems like you do not need to spell it. We know who you are.
I live at 136 Callahan Street in Edmonton. So I am a rancher. I'm the mayor of Edna and probably best known as the CEO of the Siskiyou Golden Fair. So I'm in favor of the expansion. It's a 20-year expansion. There's nothing in America. Either stay the same. You're staying the same, you're losing ground. And I just think that they've done a whole different process than other camps that we have in our area. They've gone through all the procedures, and it helps kids, and I'm all about kids. A lot of local kids take advantage of Kidder Creek. My kids all took advantage of Kidder Creek, and I think it is a great community asset. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of all the things that will need to be changed for this camp to coexist with the community, but they're there, they've been there for a long, long time, and I don't believe that they're in a situation where they're trying to harm the environment or the community. I don't think they're just out for another dollar. I truly see a lot of good that comes out of Kidder Creek, and while it will impact us in our community, I do believe it'll be an overall positive expansion. So thank you.
Lauren Burke.
Thank you, members of the commission. I'm Lauren Burke. I live at 255 Newton Street in Fort Jones, and I stand to speak in support of the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp zone change and use permit. I first came to Scott Valley in 1975 and served as a pastor of the Edna and Fort Jones United Methodist Churches. I retired in 2006, and in 2008 I purchased my home in Fort Jones, where I now live. In 2010 to 2014, I served as a member of the Fort Jones City Council. Since my arrival in Scott Valley in 1975, I have been closely aware of the establishment of Kidder Creek Orchard Camp, its subsequent development, and then its relationship with Mount Hermon Camps and Conference Center. Having known Dick Jones, the founder of Kidder Creek Orchard Camps, and knowing many of its founding members, board members, I can say without a question that beyond reaching out to young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ as one of their underlying principles, was always to be a responsible and good neighbor to nearby residents, to Scott Valley, and to Siskiyou County. That mentality continues to this day. They've been above board in all their dealings with the community. To this end, they've been open to all inquiries, have hosted Several informal gatherings on campus open to all, and have not shied away from answering any and all questions regarding their development. They have tackled the very difficult task of responding to the issues identified in the environmental impact report, taking appropriate action wherever necessary, suggesting changes for mitigating what might appear to be negative impacts. In short, they have been very proactive. However, more important than all of these is the impact that they have had nationally, internationally, as well as locally. In one issue of USU's and World Report, Kittrick Report reports campus listed as one of the top 25 in the nation. I think it was number 15, but I could be wrong. Young lives that have been touched by Kittrick Creek have literally gone around the world. Africa, India, Thailand, Israel, Honduras, Moldova, Ukraine, South America are just a few of the places that have been touched by children who have been at Kittrick Creek Orchard Camp and have impacted people internationally. Secondly, Kittrick Creek Orchard Camp has developed a reputation that has national implications. They're known for their safe and effective and high quality camps and experiences they provide. In addition, its staff and participants come from all across the United States. And I see my time is about done, so I will say to you, I fully support your approval of Kittrick Creek Orchard Camps and encourage that when you have all the evidence, you will realize that they have fulfilled the requirement of the law and you should approve their request. Thank you for your time.
Next up will be Marilyn Stewart.
I'm Marilyn Stewart. I live at 210 Dingle Street in Aetna, post office box 400. I have been in Scott Valley for 54 years. As a 15-year-old Iowa farm girl, I got to go to a very rustic camp in western Nebraska. At that camp, I made two important decisions. I met Wendell, who became my husband of 60 years, and I made my decision to follow God and spend my life serving others. In 1967, my husband and I came to Scott Valley and began pastoring a new Berean church. We hadn't pastored in the valley very long until we realized that the valley had many needs. There was a high rate of alcoholism, a high rate of not good family going on, and we realized that we needed more than a Sunday morning sermon. The board began searching and just what would make the biggest difference, decided it was a camp. We spent a couple of years probably trying to find a camp to go, to make one start. Eventually, Dick and Roman Jones moved into the valley with a lifetime of camp experience. And with their help and with the board, we were able finally to purchase the Kittrick Creek Orchard Ranch. It was at the end of South Kittrick Creek Road and not a very heavy population in that area. We thought it was a perfect place for a camp. The camp began. The first camps were very rustic. The little kids cooked on little oil stoves. The camp grew. It was a wonderful time. I loved that. I worked out there for years, cleaning, cooking, buying groceries, this kind of thing. We often, when there weren't money to pay my payments, we would go to the bank and borrow $5,000 and pay the payment. It's a very important thing. It makes a huge difference to the kids. My one thing about Kittrick Creek has been, for one thing has been that it is, they made a solid rule that they would always abide by every law, local, national, state. The other rule that we made, we were urged to do it by a good businessman, was that we would be sure to follow good business processes. I handle our money carefully. I need to say that it was never a commercial operation. Camp fees never pay for the amount that the camp costs. And any improvements were always made by donations. I have more to say, but I'm quite 94 years old, and I have about 15% vision. So I've asked Lisa, Linda, wait, Lonnie, to read the rest of what I will say.
just know his eyes, but I see that.
Linda, both Linda?
Yes.
Before you start, we will reset the timer, and you are a new individual speaking, and you will have 3 minutes. Timer, please reset. Thank you. Go ahead, Linda.
My name is Linda Wayne Lund. I live at 430 Wyndham Street in Etna. And as I said, I know his eyes, meaning rest of this. It says, given today's world, the increase in alcohol and drug use, domestic violence, and child endangerment, as well as the lack of personnel and programs to meet these needs, we need to make the camp available to more youth. Today, even in our families, our kids do not feel that they are loved and have no place to go for help. Bitter Creek Camp provides a haven where youth can learn that God loves them, and so does the entire staff of the camp. While the number of youth needing the love, the encouragement, and the challenges that Bitter Creek offers continues to grow, today additional facilities are essential, hence the drastic need for an updated use permit. Thank you for your attention, sir.
Thank you. Amy Mathis.
Amy Mathis, and I live at 12066 Oak Mill Drive in Fort Jones. And I wanted to let you know that I was the ranch camp manager from 2010 to 2017. And while I was there, my nephews had the opportunity to attend camp at Bitter Creek. And I saw how that changed their lives all the way through now they're adults. And it gives kids a safe place to build confidence and experience something that they would never have gotten to try out, which opens new doors for them to know passions that they wouldn't have experienced if they had not been to Bitter Creek. The rafting and the horses and the bike riding and the hiking, it's a big game changer for the kids of this generation who are living lives plugged into screens and not experiencing real life or real relationships with God or people. So while I was there, I saw how Kidder Creek impacts kids who are in day camp all the way up to the retired volunteers to Bitter Creek. And for me personally, it was the best job that I had until becoming a mom. And I am excited for my kids to grow up so they can become campers at Bitter Creek. Also, I did see how campers have grown up at Bitter Creek, and they just are counting down the days until they're old enough to come on staff. And it's a constant. How old do you have to be to come on staff at Bitter Creek? Well, how long do I have until I can be a volunteer? And you've actually seen these kids grow up. They're on staff. Now I'm a youth leader with Valleywide Youth. And we lose half of our kids in the summertime because they're all volunteering or working at Bitter Creek. So expanding Bitter Creek is going to expand our impact on the youth and all of the community in Scott Valley.
Pam Malmberg.
I am Pam Malmberg, living 895 Oak Street, Ashland, Oregon. For the last few years, we moved from our wonderful home on South Peter Creek Road just a couple years ago. So we've been in the valley over 35 years or more. Norman knows all those numbers. I never know those numbers. So today, just a tiny little bit of history. Norman and I were part of Maryland's group when we started the camp. Dick Jones' leadership, and he had established other camps, so he was, knew exactly what he was doing. He also started with his vision for camping at Mount Hermon as a young man with his family. They attended a Billy Graham concert or speech, and he realized then that camping was where he needed to be with children. So he did start that Wolf Mountain in Grass Valley, and then came Kidder Creek. So the Kidder Creek Norman was on the board in those early years. I came on the board later with Marilyn being on the board most of those years. And we worked very hard to establish a camp, fundraisers, loans against houses, giving our money. It just was volunteers. Very little staff paid in those early years. But funding came with the regulations, the payment of quality staff, expanded programs, more kids in need. We had to do something because the integration point of debt and income, and as Marilyn said, you cannot, it's $1 out of every three is a donated dollar. And you can't raise the fees high enough to cover the expenses and the regulations and food and safety for children and families. So we decided to merge with Mount Hermon. That was Rick Jones's only camp he would consider joining forces with, and we did. We are still our own 501c. If anything ever dissolved there, it would come back to the Kidder Creek Committee, and the decision would be made that if we could continue as a camp or whether we had to dissolve it. I was on the board of Mount Hermon and merger. I stayed on their board for 9 years, representing Kidder Creek. Monique Birch came on after me, and Craig Thompson is now on the board of Mount Hermon. And that relationship is a beautiful bond. They needed adventure. We needed their expertise, their committees, and their money. They support all of our scholarship funds, Camp Hope, all of the people that come and visit the camp. We've had Outdoor Ed, we've had Search and Rescue, we've had Dare Camp, Social Services of Sioux County, and many, many other people impacted by Kidder Creek. And several ministries have spun off of that Rockside, the girls' home group home that we lost, has spun internationally just like the one. So thank you, I support Kidder Creek 100%.
Next up, Andy Orkin.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Andy Morgan. I live at 2333 South Kidder Creek Road in Greenview. My commute is very nice as I get to walk or ride my bike up to the camp where I am the director. Kidder Creek Camp is a nonprofit organization that has existed since 1976. You've met some of our founders here this morning. We were founded by local families and have been supported by local volunteers and donors since the camp began. The camp would literally not survive without our friends' generous support. Our commitment is to serve our local community, and our vision is that every child in Siskiyou County would have the opportunity to come to Kidder Creek Camp at some point in their life. We do this by offering currently a 25% discount to local campers and by offering additional campership to those who need more assistance to make it to camp. We have never turned away a camper because of finances. Each year, we give an average of fundraised dollars in the amount of $125,000 in discounts and camperships to help get kids to camp. Here are some of the ways that we've been able to pour into our local youth and families in the last year through sports, education, family, and summer camp programs. We've hosted PALS, Siskiyou County Outdoor Ed Camp, weddings, youth and sports events, sober grad night, end of school year trips, field trips, celebrations, and the fall festival. We've partnered with Camp Youth Empowerment Siskiyou and Camp Hope to bring hope to kids who have experienced trauma. We have partnered with local churches to offer picnics, day outings, and family camping weekends. We had 207 local kids attend overnight camp this summer. That's 25% of our total overnight campers. And we also did 7 weeks of day camp that was serving local kids as well. We employed 47 local staff this summer, which includes our year-round management team. Our commitment is to serve our local community and to be a place of joy, laughter, adventure, and peace to all who come to the camp. Our mission as a faith-based organization has always been to help people become who they were made to be and find how they can contribute back to society in their schools, communities, in their families, and as they grow in their faith. This project is about improving our facilities and increasing our occupancy so that we can give our local campers, as well as campers from our region, a better experience and bring more people to the camp where they will be able to have their lives transformed. I think that most of you would agree that kids need camp. The need is greater today than ever before. Mental health issues, teen suicide, depression are on the rise. Kids don't know where they fit or where they belong. They spend hours in front of screens, and they need a space to unplug, to learn, to grow, to play, and to have their lives transformed. Kidder Creek Camp offers that opportunity for life change. Yes. But don't just take my word for it. You've been hearing already, and you're going to hear more. You're going to hear a sampling today from some of our friends who've experienced firsthand the impact that camp has had on them, on their kids, and on their grandkids. Their lives wouldn't be the same without Kidder Creek. We want to make more stories like that continue and increase. My hope is that you will approve this project for the betterment of our community and our children. Thank you.
Thank you. Harry Munn.
Hello, I'm Harry Munn, live in 9239 Old English Road, and it's considered Fort Jones, it's not in Fort Staff. We've been involved, I'm also the senior pastor of Fort Jones Community Church. Our church has been involved from the very first with Dick Jones when he started Kidder Creek. My family and I have been involved with Kidder Creek since Pete Morrill talked us into volunteering to pack the kids into the mountains. For 26 years, we've been involved. When I think of Kidder Creek, I think of three things. I think of hope, healing, and fun. Sitting at a campfire, listening to kids talk about how hopeless they are, how their families are falling apart, how marriages are breaking, and at the end of the week, you know, having hope that there is a possibility of change. That one thing that people haven't mentioned is Kidder Creek also works with adults. My wife and I used to run a couples retreat through Kidder Creek. It was part of Kidder Creek. We saw families come, couples come, and it was their last-ditch effort to save their marriage. They were hopeless. And by the end of a week, dealing with horses, many of which had never ridden a horse before, especially not in mountain trails, that scared them to death. Or sat around a campfire talking about Jesus and love and what marriage really was. And by the end of the week, we saw many couples recommit to renew their relationships, renew their vows, and go home and begin living a healthy life. All in an atmosphere that was fun, that was challenging, that was healthy. That's what Kidder Creek can offer. If this expansion can help 10 more kids and 10 more families, it's worth it. I am a proponent. I ask that you agree to this expansion.
Julie Webster.
Hi, I'm Julie Webster. I live 839 Highland Street in Edna. And I grew up here. My parents moved here when I was three and 58 years ago. I was not an active athletic kid like some of my younger siblings were. They were very athletic. I was more of a studious type. My parents grew up, when I was growing up, we did go down to Mount Hermon. Not many people knew what Mount Hermon was, but my mom would save a little tiny bit every month so that we could go to family camp down there in the 60s and 70s. And it was a very special time for our family because we lived very tightly on my dad's teacher's salary all year long. So it was very special. And when Kidder Creek came along and Mount Hermon came along beside them back a few decades ago, we were pretty excited because we knew the quality of Mount Hermon, and my parents had been very involved from the very beginning with Kidder Creek in the middle 70s when I started. Right after I graduated in 79, I went on one of the first backpacking trips up into the Marbles. I was not a backpacker. I was not a very athletic person. It was right after I graduated, and that stretched me in a way that I didn't know was possible. my siblings had all gone with Dad into the marbles growing up, but I haven't. I'd stayed home, done stuff at home. And it gave me a love for the mountains, and it gave me a love for the marbles that I had no idea about. That was right when that packing was starting for Kidder Creek. Now, as you know, it has so much more. My dad helped to develop the whitewater rafting at Kidder Creek, which I moved to Southern California, and every summer I would bring my daughter out from when she was about 7 or 6 to go to Kidder Creek every summer. It was a very special part. This has been a special part of her life growing up. Being on the river, being at camp, and now in the summertime, my siblings all get together every summer. The kids go to camp. We even have a special day of being with together as a family at camp. I would love to see family camp being there. I try to tell people say, oh, it's outsiders that come to camp. I said, no, the first priority is the local kids. The first priority is people here in the county. They give scholarships, they want to make sure. But because it's so full, I tell people you have to register soon because it fills up in March, and they have to turn people away. So there's a lot of misinformation flying around. Please get your facts straight, and thank you very much.
Morgan Buck.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Morgan Buck. I live at 1611 Magnolia Avenue in Edward. I think you're going to hear a lot of really good witnesses today. The only thing I have to say is, and I think this is given to you, to come to the best use of the resources. That's our concern. And the resources that the commission is looking at, the land, the water, and I think for me, I know that these were given to us by God to come up with our best use, given wisdom that we're given. So let's just like to add one small comment. For myself personally, Kidder Creek is an ambassador of Northern California and kind of the state of Jefferson to people in Southern Oregon and to people in Central and Southern California. And it's a way that you get to show them what we are here and what we have, and that this place is important to protect and conserve. And just like you to consider those things. Thank you very much for your time.
It looks like Freedom Bernal.
We started basing our camp out of Kidder Creek 10 years ago. I started attending when I was a young 13-year-old teenager, and the activities at Kidder Creek allowed me the opportunity to be a kid again. I had the opportunity to build the things that my trauma took away from me, such as confidence and courage. And most importantly, hope. From ropes course to archery, and so much more, Kidder Creek offers so many opportunities for trauma-exposed children to connect among similar to them. These activities allow for great team building skills, interpersonal confidence, and long-lasting relationships. Kidder Creek has become my safe space as a child and still is. It made me aware of how strong I am on my own and that I am so much more than my trauma. Among these new relationships between my fellow campers, Kidder Creek counselors and staff were also a big part of my return each year. The genuine care and support they provide, not only for the campers, but for Our counselors and our staff amongst our agency have always been so present. I say this from the viewpoint of a Camp Brandon counselor. The opportunity to work alongside Kidder Creek these past few years has aided in my growth personally as well as growth within our agency as Team Hope. With the expansion of Kidder Creek, the opportunities to build these relationships, confidence, and hope for our trauma-exposed youth will grow tremendously. As we continue to prosper in trauma-informed care, we work alongside Kidder Creek staff in doing so with preparatory trainings before camp. This allows us all to be in unison and work together as we dive into an amazing week each year. Without Kidder Creek, I wouldn't have the chance to stand right in front of you here today. Thank you for your time.
Jennifer Ely.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Ely. I'm from Anderson. My address is 2859 North Street in Anderson. I felt like I won a raffle when you said my name. I was like, I've been waiting to get up here. I am so excited to be here today. This is so cool. I have been coordinator and director of Camp Hope Pathways for 3 years. This past year, we just came back actually a couple weeks ago, so maybe I'm still excited from the high of being in this incredible place. But I saw so many wonderful things this time when we were at Kidder Creek. Last time too, don't get me wrong. But let me tell you how incredible the staff at Kidder Creek is. These kids, I mean, I guess they're young adults, but I feel a little bit old, so I call them kids. That's just where I am in life right now. Anyways, these kids have so much passion and they're trained so well, and we work hand in hand to get them trained, so we're all trauma-informed and working together. But they bring this spirit that can't be duplicated. It's incredible. These kids come ready to sing songs, ready to connect with kids, ready to lead activities, and it's such a wonderful atmosphere that the staff creates for these kids that are coming from homes that are less than desirable and ideal. They have such a wonderful week that they leave there with something that they can only get from our program, I feel, when they have this incredible support and year-round mentoring from us, and that's hope. And they get to continue with hope year-round in our program. We have monthly activities that we get to do with them. We get to sing songs with them and be silly with them and remind them of how incredible camp was. And I couldn't imagine having this happen in a different place. Kidder Creek is so unique. It's the only place that we can bring these kids to do these activities. It's such a unique place, and we need to value that, and we need to utilize this space. We need to create more opportunities for us to bring twice as many campers at once. It will create such an impact in this community and in Shasta County that we get to create more opportunities for these kids and get more kids up here. So thank you so much for letting me speak, and I'm happy to see all of you.
Michael Burke.
Hi, I'm Michael Burke, Executive Director of Pathways to Hope for Children in Redding, California. Address is 2280 Benton Drive. And I'm also, I've been Director of Camp Hope America Pathways since its inception. I never forget the day that Casey Gwynn, myself, and Angela McClure walked onto Kidder Creek. And we walked in and saw Pete Morrell for the first time. We're trying to figure out where we could do a camp for trauma-exposed youth, where kids who have been exposed to domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, could all come together in a healing environment with an evidence-based curriculum, which we were in the process of developing. And we walked in, and Pete's wife greeted us at the door as we got out of the car, and she had Casey's book in her hand, and she said, it was called Cheering for the Children. It's all about how children need somebody cheering in their corner, especially trauma kids. She said, I've been waiting for you since I got this book. This is the place that I've told Pete early on that this was a place that trauma kids needed to have for themselves. So I started doing Camp Hope 10 summers ago at Kidder Creek in 2013. I've been responsible for bringing over 600 campers up there. And our kids are, like I said, exposed to things that never should happen to other kids. And I will say that Kidder Creek does an amazing job of being secular while we're there. We don't teach religion. It's not something all of our trauma kids are into or want to even explore. But Kidder is able to set that aside. You've heard a lot of testimonial here about God and Jesus and the work they do in that space. But they also open that space up for others. And I think that's important for you to hear. The entire staff is so dedicated to helping our kids find hope and healing. Hope isn't just a word. Hope is measurable. Hope is a belief your future can be brighter than your past, and you take a role in making that hope happen. At Kidder Creek, we've been able to create evidence-based research that has gone across the country. In 2013, five different organizations throughout California, from San Diego to Shasta, came to Kidder Creek our very first year and launched something amazing. And now Camp Hope America is in about 23 states with 5,000 kids going every year. And that started right here at Kidder Creek. So it's really important. The evidence shows that a 2-point increase in hope can significantly change the lives of kids. And we've been able to achieve that. And the science will show that having an evidence-based camping and mentoring program in a challenge-by-choice environment where kids, I always say, are near death, which they're not. You know, it's very controlled, very wonderful, but these kids get to experience things that they would never get to experience. And because of the generosity of Kidder Creek, we're able to partner with them. We're not a guest group, we're a partner group, and they help subsidize our campers. So you're bringing in dollars from all over to Siskiyou County, but those dollars are also being matched by Mount Hermon and Kidder Creek. So thank you for your time, and I really support this expansion because we can bring more and more kids. Thank you.
Scott Eason.
Good morning. My name is Scott Eason. I'm the executive director of the YMCA here in Wairika. My address is 1115 Oak Valley Drive here in Wairika. To the commission this morning, I'm here in support of Kidder Creek Camp, and I want to just give you a perspective from not a competing, but a partner organization that works with youth empowerment, youth development, and that's the YMCA. So as many of you know, the YMCA is known for pretty much two things, a pool, which I'm not going to get into here, and also camps. And the YMCA in Wairika has neither. And but we do serve over 2,000 children every year throughout the county. So the pool, once again, not getting into, but the camps. Let me tell you why the YMCA is not involved in camps. This is a career YMCA professional in 1999. I started here at the YMCA. It used to be the Wairika Family YMCA. It was the first adult position as a program director. I took the lead, immediately met Pete and some other staff at Kidder Creek, growing up here and having some peripheral knowledge of the camp. We made the decision strategically not to compete with that camp because it's so aligned with the goals of the YMCA and what we were trying to do here. So, you know, I know that you've heard many, you know, testimonies today that they're talking about it's not about the money. And it really isn't. We're all in this thing together. And when you're looking at other partner organizations that have a level of impact at Kidder, from a YMCA standpoint, they have our wholehearted support. My children have also benefited from Kidder Creek. All three kids have attended the camps. Several of them worked as staff and as volunteers. And I will say, with all transparency, my children have actually enjoyed some of Kidder Creek's programs more than the YMCA programs. Getting that aside, I do think that it shows a breadth of impact that they have in several areas. So number one is the investment. And as everybody can attain, regardless of where you fall in this COVID, pandemic and protocols, the kids have been inordinately impacted. We've got years of work ahead of us. This is something we need to put time, energy, and resources towards. We're going to be in more trouble than we currently are. Leadership development, outdoor recreation versus cell phones. These are topics you've already heard. Developing a long-term appreciation of the outdoors and family connection and passing that on as a legacy piece for our children is something that I see as important. This is a tremendous asset that we have in our community, in our area. it expands to regionally bring children in. We think that that's the next step. And thank you for your time, and I'm in support of the Kidder Camp.
Jeremy McVay.
Good morning. My name is Jeremy McVay, and I live here in Wairika, 525 Shadow Lane. And I am the pastor at Siskiyou Christian Fellowship. I'm here this morning because I am in support of Kidder Creek, and I would ask you guys to approve their project. Kidder Creek has, it's been a blessing to me personally. It's been a place of rest and refreshment. It really has been a great spot for me personally, whether that's Fall Fest or Family Camp, whether that's just personal retreats. Kidder Creek really has been a special place in my life personally. As a dad, man, my kids have benefited greatly from Kidder Creek. They both, all of my kids have been to camp. My son was married there at Kidder Creek. They have been blessed both as campers and as counselors. As a volunteer, man, I have seen kids come and just experience the outdoors at Kidder Creek in a way that will stick with them for the rest of their lives. The kindness and love that the staff has shown these kids is something that they will never, ever forget. And for many of these kids, it's the only reference point of love that they will ever have. As a youth pastor, I was able to take teens over there, and I have witnessed teens who were troubled going down the wrong path, change course, and go down the right path. And Kidder Creek was a hint. Kidder Creek was a tipping point to help those young people really avoid catastrophe in their life. I've had the privilege of helping train some of the counselors in different areas, and I've gotten to know some of them and watch them mature and just grow into amazing adults. As a pastor, I have watched families and marriages and relationships flourish and strengthen. Something happens when mom and dad unplug and play laser tag with their kids. Something amazing happens when a husband and wife just go for a walk and explore the camp. I have witnessed relationships and families restored, doing well. And I understand that projects like this have hurdles and have challenges, but Kidder has shown themselves to be diligent and faithful in working both with their neighbors, the community, and with the authorities. I believe that Kidder Creek is a huge asset to our county, to our community, to our families, and to our kids, in a world that is so increasingly negative with all the things that we have going on. I really believe that we should support something that so positively affects our community and kids, so I would ask you to please approve this project. Thank you.
Corey Johnson.
Hello, my name is Corey Johnson. I live at 6400 Shannon Road in Montague. I lived in Scott Valley for 16 years before that. I spent my first summer in Kidder Creek in 1999 as a ranch camp counselor. I was from Maryland. It was my first time ever rock climbing, doing a ropes course, whitewater rafting, taking an overnight horseback trip into the mountain wilderness. I kept returning to summer staff, and I spent the next few summers falling in love with Scott Valley and Siskiyou County. When a year-round internship opened up in 2001, I moved to Aetna and I worked year-round for 3 years. I hired Philip, who later became my husband, and together we worked the next several summers. Then I was on summer office staff until 2007 after we moved to Scott Valley because of our relationship with Kidder Creek. That was in 2006. So to say that Kidder Creek changed the trajectory of my life would be an understatement. And I am far from the only one. In fact, I know so many similar stories to mine. Scott Valley and Siskiyou County have many natural resources and beauty, but its best asset is its people. And who does Kidder Creek attract to Scott Valley? Outdoorsy people, teachers, nurses, nonprofit leaders, people content to live far from amenities,
people who value space, hard work, and outdoor experiences, people who steward the land because they see what it has to offer and they know its creator. Now my kids go to Kidder Creek every summer. The first question I ask them when they get home is, did you feel loved? I have six kids. The answer has always been this kind of like resounding yes. Mom, why are you even asking me that question? People who know the value of wilderness and they preserve it to share with children, this is a big draw for Kidder Creek. And I want to say that hosting kids who have never seen a whole orchard full of grass or a whole mountainside full of trees or a whole sky full of stars, and yes, we hear these stories every single summer. I didn't know there was so much grass in all the world. This is a big deal. This gives them a taste of nature that does more to preserve the world you love than if we leave this generation of city dwellers ignorant of those treasures. Even more so, like their involvement with Camp Hope, and I want to say way too many, a high percentage of, quote, regular campers, Kidder Creek hosts kids who have never felt loved, they rarely feel valued, they don't know their place in the world, and being able to give them a taste of love, a taste of respect, a taste of the hope of Jesus, this is a valuable and necessary contribution to the world. The beauty is big enough to share. Kidder Creek has always done all they can to accommodate their neighbors, and we can expect them to carry out their mission with just as much care for their local place, the whole earth, their neighbors, and their campers as ever they have done. Thank you so much.
Philip Johnson, the employee.
Philip Johnson, Seth's husband. Yes, Philip Johnson, and I live at 6400 Shelley Road in Montague, and have the privilege of being a pastor at Grenada Community Berean Church. I first came to Siskiyou County almost 20 years ago, and lived in Scott Valley for 16 years, primarily because of the connection I gained in the community from the four summers I spent working at Kidder Creek Orchard Camp. Over several summers, I met people from the schools, from churches, law enforcement, different organizations all over the county who are reaching out to youth and leadership training events, DARE programs back in the day, Camp Hope, Shoker Grad Nights, other special events, besides these life-changing experiences going on throughout the whole summer schedule. These encounters show my wife and I a community we were excited to do life alongside, and so we moved here to raise our family. Kidder Creek has always been rooted in this community, and I know there are many locals whom I have met over the years who, even though they would never consider themselves as religious persons, have felt Kidder Creek is still their family's camp, meaning it's a place that they trust their kids will have wonderful life-shaping experiences and character-growing opportunities. Updating this use permit helps Kidder Creek to continue and further provide these experiences and opportunities to our kids, families, and the next generation of young people in a culture that so desperately needs them. I would also add that it could not be any friendlier to Scott Valley area planners. Similar concerns, people come and they put their money into Siskiyou County jobs, services, and a place that is kept beautiful and natural, and they leave with greater knowledge of God's love for them and their own communities. I think that's a win-win situation. For the benefit of Scott Valley and our entire region, please continue helping Kidder Creek serve our community. Thank you.
Christian Birch.
My name is Christian Birch, and I live at 408 Spink Street, Mount Shasta. My family has been deeply involved with Kidder. We have three generations. My parents were part of the founding group. My wife and I were both directors there. My kids all went to camp, my three boys, and they all were on the staff. And this just had a significant impact on my family and friends. Currently, I'm I work for Siskiyou County Office of Education. And I'm the director of the Outdoor Science Program, and we switched from French Creek Outdoor School with COVID to Kidder Creek Outdoor School. We currently run day camps at Kidder. We serve for the past 2 years about 400 local kids from 20 different schools. But there is a limit, obviously, on how many kids we can bring through our outdoor science program. And currently there's no outdoor science programs in Southern Oregon or in Redding, and so we can't reach out to schools to bring kids to Kidder Creek to experience our awesome science program. So this expansion would allow us to do that. It would also allow us to run overnight science programs, which is not possible right now at the camp. And it would allow us to expand our current offerings with activities, programs, and it just has been an awesome collaboration with the Siskiyou County Office of Education and Kidder with our partnership. They provide their staff, I train their staff with the science, but they have done an awesome job with teaching the kids science, and it's just exposed a lot of kids that normally would not go to camp to God's creation out there, and it's been a great collaboration. So this expansion would definitely be a step forward in the outdoor science program currently offered at Kidder Creek. Thank you.
Brett McMorris.
Hello, my name is Brett McMorris. I'm at 201 Valley Pines Drive in Etna, or outside of Etna. And I am in support of Kidder Creek and the projects that they have going there. I've lived in the community and interacted with Kidder Creek Camp for more than 20 years, which I know still puts me as a new guy, but trust me, people have to listen anyway. I've been asked to share why I think it's a good idea to support this plan, and I have two primary reasons why I support it. First, as a youth pastor, I'm youth pastor of both Fort Jones Community Church and Scott Valley Berean Church. And my primary concerns are always going to be spiritual and whether people are pointed towards Christ. And I've seen kids in my group pointed towards Christ at Kidder Creek. I've seen them grapple with spiritual lessons along the way, but I've also seen them challenge themselves and stretch themselves in their character through various opportunities like ropes courses and rafting and horsemanship. I've seen them develop responsibility. As someone has already mentioned, half of my youth group ends up going to Kidder Creek and volunteering in various leadership roles or even staff because they're growing in responsibility and they're growing in compassion towards other people. They get stretched in leadership. In short, Kidder Creek has a great impact on the kids, and I think that's a good thing to expand. Second, I've watched staff at Kidder Creek as a part of the community in Scott Valley. I know where most of the year-round staff go to church, and they're involved in their church, they're involved in this community. I know where most of the year-round staff live, and hence pay property taxes. I've seen them fundraise for scholarship funds that specifically for Siskiyou County residents, for kids that are a part of this county, and I've watched them respect the rules at campgrounds and river accesses. In short, Kidder Creek is a good neighbor, and they're committed to the deliberate supporting of Siskiyou County. Thank you.
Dana Ayers.
My name is Dana Ayers, and I reside at 2239 South Kidder Creek Road. I am blessed to live across the street from Kidder Creek Camp. I am the ranch camp manager on staff, year-round staff at Kidder, and I just have a story to share. A couple years ago, I got word before a camper arrived that we were going to have a camper who witnessed his mother's murder. And I thought, good gracious. Why would any kid have to go through that? So the kid arrived to camp, and he definitely had a chip on his shoulder. And through the week, his counselor kind of wrestled a little bit with the kid, trying to, you know, encourage him while he was riding his horse. And one day, that afternoon, the kids were all in front of the barn. And the counselor says to me, I can't find Jason. So all of a sudden, you know, when you can't find a camper, it is all, you know, all alert. So I'm looking around, I go out behind, and I see where all the horses are lined up, and there's Jason standing there with his face in his horse's mane, and that kid's sobbing. And his counselor says, should I get him? I says, no. Let him cry. And he did. And his grandmother told me at the end of the week that it was a turning point. That's what Kidder's doing for kids. That's what Kidder needs to do for kids. And we need more kids to have that opportunity. Thank you.
I think I know how to pronounce this one. Anna Freudenberg. Birthday. Yes.
My name is Anna Freudenberg. I live at 904. You got it right. I live at 904 Terrace Drive in Wairarica. And I just want to tell you a little bit about some of my personal experience with Kidder Creek. So I grew up as a camper going to Kidder Creek. I went there pretty much every summer from when I was 8 years old all the way through my junior year of high school. And through my experience as a camper, as I look back on the times in my life where I experienced significant personal growth, whether that was in my faith or whether that was just trying new things and learning new things that I'd like to do, growing in friendships, and like so many other things that I can talk about, the vast majority of those times were actually weeks that I spent at Kidder Creek. And someone mentioned earlier that there's a lot of local campers who go to Kidder Creek and they're like counting down the days until they get to work for Kidder Creek. And that was actually my story. So I have had the chance to work at Kidder Creek as a summer staff counselor for the past 2 summers now. And through the time that I've had working as a counselor, I've gotten to work firsthand with kids who are in pretty much any different program than now. So whether that's day camp or overnight camp, whether that's working with family camps or Camp Hope, I've really gotten to see the ways that Kidder Creek is working to transform lives in all of those different areas. And it's been so cool to have the chance to see kids try new things like backpacking or rafting or riding horses, which are things that they might not have the chance to do otherwise. And one thing that I hear campers say over and over again, every single week I hear at least one camper say this, is that coming to camp, they were really afraid that they weren't going to fit in or that they were not going to be loved or that they were just kind of going to be isolated into themselves and not really knowing what to do. And by the end of the week, all of them have said that Kidder Creek, or at Kidder Creek, they have experienced more love and acceptance and just more support in trying these new things than they ever have before. And they come to camp really, really hesitant, and they leave camp with some of their new best friends, and it just like the biggest smiles on their faces because they've had the best week of their life. So that's just a little bit of my personal experience with Kidder Creek. Thank you for listening.
Scott, I'm sure of that part. It looks like it's Lindemann.
Hello, Scott Lindemann. Hopefully that must have looked around San Diego today. I came with a really, really nice speech that I prepared about how Kidder Creek has changed my life and the life of people that I know and their families are. But I think that we all know that that's obvious at this point. I think all of you know that Kidder Creek is a transformative place, that it changes people's lives. I think that we also all know that Kidder Creek has gone above and beyond to demonstrate compliance with the codes and the laws of our county. So I want to just make a more restrictive point. What these codes and laws aim at is to make sure that people behave in ways that are good, that treat things well, that treat people well. But we all know that codes and laws are woefully inadequate to do this. No offense, because I know that you guys are very, you know, devoted your lives to make sure that these codes and laws are abided by. That's really important and good. Laws and codes are good, but they're inadequate, because what we really want is people to have character, people to take care of the things that they are responsible for.
We all know that with industrialization and commercialization for at least 100 years, people are capable of destroying communities and destroying the world that we live in. We also know that contracts and laws are easily broken and gone around. Everybody knows that when you sign a contract, what you're signing is really somewhat flimsy in the wake of a lawsuit. And a contract is just a way to sort of meet a bare minimum requirement to make sure that the person you just made an agreement with is going to hold to it. But what we really want is to live in a world where we can look each other in the eye and shake hands and say, I'm going to do what I said, and I can be trusted with this. Kidder Creek and the staff at Kidder Creek have the integrity and the character that we're all looking for, that you guys are looking for on this commission, that even opponents are looking for. I know these men and women, I know their character, I know that they have integrity, and that when you entrust them with this use of this land, with this expanded permit, that they not only know what they're doing, not only have clearly demonstrated that they will comply by all the laws and codes, but that they will do good with the responsibility that you give them. Thank you very much, and if it's not clear, I fully support.
Mark Clausen.
I'm Mark Clausen. I live at 3 Allison Way in Fort Jones. So I was sitting here, something came to mind when you talked about noise and traffic. Everywhere I go, I worked in construction as a business rep in the Bay Area, and it comes up everywhere. It's always noise, traffic. And I got to thinking about the cemetery in Aetna and the cemetery in Fort Jones. Not a lot of traffic. You know, maybe Aetna because you go up to the top of the mountain, but it's real quiet. Not a whole lot goes on there except on the day that somebody's being buried. Kidder Creek, on the other hand, yes, there's way traffic. Yes, there'll be a certain amount of noise, joyful noise, of children, people having fun, people enjoying the beauty that we give it here. And I think in this process, as you've seen by so many that have spoken here, that that's what Kidder is here for, living. The living here in this community, the youth in this community, it basically is helping to build a future for the Valley, the Scott Valley, and for Siskiyou County, for the youth. So I hope going forward that you realize oftentimes things are used that are meant to be good. When you look at CEQA, its intentions are to be good, but I've also seen it being used to be weaponized. If you didn't agree with something, you could use that in a way to stop something. You see it a lot in the Bay Area, you see it a lot used by different groups. What I'm hoping is, as it's been pointed out here, Kidder Creek has basically abided with everything that's been asked, even above and beyond. And that the staff would definitely look at this closely and see the benefits it's there for the living and for this community. Thank you very much.
Mark Freudenberg.
Hello, my name is Mark Freudenberg. I live at 904 Terrace Drive right here in Wairika. My family moved here in 1990. My wife and I were teachers at Wairika High School. And so we've been loosely connected with Kidder Creek over those years, partly because of our interest in camp and just our involvement with youth in our area. I just wanted to reiterate some of the things that you've heard, but just to say, these are things that make Siskiyou County a better place. And so my wife and I had the opportunity to volunteer at Kidder Creek this past summer. We spent the whole month there with the staff, and that was an awesome opportunity. So when you hear about the countless lives that are being changed, we really witnessed that firsthand. Kids that start the week just kind of looking down and stuff, to by the end of the week they're coming through the breakfast line like, yeah, I'll have eggs, and speaking out of a campfire, and it's just an amazing transformation that you can see each week with kids and their families. It provides employment for our young people, which is a really important thing in a county that is so sparsely populated as ours. All three of my children went to camp at Kidder Creek, and all three were employed there at one time or another. You heard my daughter Anna there a few minutes ago. It brings in people, and vicariously their money, from out of the county every summer. And they come, they enjoy this beautiful environment, they spend money while they're here, which is a great thing for us, I think. And when they go home, they have been in a place that is in a controlled environment. They've left it the same as it was when they came, and they go home and report what a beautiful place Siskiyou County is. Kidder Creek is a great neighbor to the people in our community. They offer discounts for Siskiyou County residents. They have scholarship opportunities for low-income families. And we know many people that have taken advantage of that, including us with the Siskiyou County discount. They open up this camp every year for Fall Festival, so all of us can go and enjoy, and they offer a lot of their activities for discounted rates at that time. So, in conclusion, Kidder Creek just makes Siskiyou County a better place. It's a positive and lasting impact on young lives. It has a good reputation for our county. It provides employment for our young adult population, brings in tourism and dollars, and is a good neighbor to the county residents. Thank you.
Okay, the chair is going to call a 5-minute recess. We will promptly continue at 10:50.